Log Talk Radio.
Once a man is glad you smoke like your grandmother.
Two underneath your nose, and there's no end to you. A shot of fireball, one reason turns it through. A 40 ounce of fuel is there around the actual brew. I'm so bored of doing nothing, but I have nothing to do. So pour us up the Boilermaker, back around if there is anything. Pour us up the Boilermaker, time to knock the bag.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, Sign Guy along with QT Vokes and Randy Zellers here with you on a Sunday afternoon, our final Sunday in the month of April for 2020. We're climbing out of April. Right with this yet, we're still waiting on him, so we'll give him some time. He's a busy man. But as you know, no live events just yet for fans to attend, so no show notes. But Randy Zellers, one of the fellers, once we get going, yes. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of things happening up here in the Northwest. Agreed?
Oh, agreed. Yeah, that is agreed. Hopefully, you know, this Steve Corino virus would all of a sudden, you know, die down and you know, no more people getting sick, and we can have social gatherings again. I mean, because I know Northwest Pros got something going on. I mean, in June and July. Let's see here. Who else? I know CPW got something going. And crash. I think that's about it. On that standpoint, I know probably WW got something going. I don't know.
I think pretty much every promotion had something in the fire, and then the fire had some leaves dropped on it, and it kind of smothered a bit, but hopefully fire picks back up here soon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and Power Pit, too. I mean, you know, tell you the truth, we want wrestling. I do too. Shoot. You don't know how bad it is going to my 9-to-5 and then going to a gas station and a grocery store. Like, that's like the new norm now. That's like the social gathering right there. I've seen a lot more people at Walmart than I would see. I'm like, nope, I'm good.
Definitely.
Get my... Yep.
Now, QT, I understand there's been some huge news on your front. You found that missing book that you've not been able to find for weeks. Can we confirm this to be true?
Yes. I am looking at this book right now, and it's by Graham Swift, and it's called Last Orders. And it's it has a golden sticker on it, and it says winner of the Booker Prize. And so far, I have not been able to ascertain if this Booker Prize has anything to do with Booker T, though.
I got you, and I believe our guest has joined us here. Let's bring them on right away. Do we have Madman Pondo with us? Hello, who do we have with us?
Can you suck your own cock?
Somebody that got dropped. All right.
Okay.
QT, you found the book. Where was this book?
It was in a kitchen drawer. It was next to my back. Well, right now I'm sitting in the gym. Yes. And
you found it next to your backgammon game. Have you not practiced your backgammon in all those weeks?
Yes. It's been about a year and a half since I played a backgammon game. I used to play it in the hood for gin and juice or other tequila. Yes.
Let's see. I believe we got someone else with us. And do we have Man Pondo with us?
Hey, what's up, guys? Sorry, I got a little busy at work.
Not a problem. Totally understand. I want to thank you for being on the show today.
Which is what I'm doing now. So if I have to, do something, I'll get you guys. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Do what you got to do. We'll work around it for sure.
All right. Great.
Now, Mr. Pondo, for the people that aren't familiar with how you got into pro wrestling in the first place, could you give us a little bit of a story on what brought you into the business?
Yeah, at childhood, there was a friend of ours, a friend of my family's. His name was Roy West Jr., and if you did good in school, he would take you to professional wrestling. So that got my grades up, which made my parents happy. And then I started going with him to all these wrestling matches. St. Louis's wrestling at the Chase. Illinois's ICW, which was Angelo Poffo's group with Macho Man and Leapin' Lanny. And then Evansville had Jerry the King Lawler and Bill Dundee. And then Chicago just had a little bit of everything. So I was just hooked and loved it. Then that same friend had another friend of his that worked at a college, and they called me one time and said, hey, we got a professional wrestler in my class. And I was like, no shit. I'm like, well, get me his telephone number, and I've been doing it ever since.
Now, in your career, you've been known as sort of a hardcore guy, the guy that did a lot of the early death match type of stuff and things like that. But I have seen you do different types of matches, and you've done a lot of things that might surprise people that only know you from that. What would you say some of the most surprising things that you've done in wrestling that people may not appreciate about you?
Well, I came 18 foot off of a scaffolding onto a net of barbed wire strung up over the top of the ring. I've been to Japan, England, Germany, Australia, Mexico, and did death matches in all five countries. Canada, if you want to include that, I drove over and did that. I've been part of the Jerry Springer Show. I was in a movie with Robert Englund called 2001 Maniac. So the list goes on and on, but, you know, I really don't talk about myself all that much, so people probably doesn't even know that much about me, really.
Well, I've tried to keep up on you, and I know one of the things that you did that's going to help people learn a little bit more, hopefully, is you released your autobiography within the last couple of years. Can you tell us a little bit about the book and how that did?
I sure did. I sure will. So John Cosper wrote another book called The Bluegrass Brawlers, and he put a section in there of Madman Pondo, like a paragraph or two. Well, everybody kept telling him, hey, you got to do a book on Madman Pondo. And he kept asking me about it, but I really didn't think anybody would care about what I had to say, so I denied it for the longest time. And then finally, I decided to go ahead and do it. And at that time, he was also working on Dr. D. David Schultz's book, which made it take a little longer, but now it's done, 248 pages of pictures and stories of good stories, embarrassing stories of me, and I like to fuck with scammers, and there's a whole conversation where I messed with scammers from Nigeria. There's a comic book that the Bloody Midgets put out, and I'm in the comic book. They put all four pages in there. But the name of the book is Memoirs of a Madman, and you can pick that up at Amazon.com, And then if you wanted an autograph copy, you could talk to the guy who wrote the book, John Cosper, at eatsleepwrestle.com.
Someone else that recently came out with an autobiography from the same people as someone I know that you have a very long history with, Tracy Smothers, came out with his book, and Tracy's been ill for the last few months. People have been trying to help him raise some funds as he fights the disease. I know you have a long, long history with Tracy. Can you tell us a little bit about your background with Tracy Smothers?
Yeah, we've known each other since Chris Champion's company in Hole-in-Wall, Tennessee. And then we wrestled each other in Indianapolis. I think that might have been in the 90s sometime. But Tracy Smothers has helped so many people in this business, if not just with advice or stories of how he did good here or messed up there. So when I found out that Tracy Smothers was sick, Timothy Denson got a hold of me and we had the Tracy Smothers benefit show, but of course this damn coronavirus put a niche in that. But you know, I'm down to help Tracy, and I hope everybody else is too. So if you have Tracy on Facebook, or even if you don't, just write him a message and say, hey, keep strong, buddy.
Absolutely, and I have done that, and I know Tracy always appreciates people checking on him, making sure he's doing all right. You brought up the match in Indianapolis with Tracy. I happened to be at that particular match. It was for Dan Garza's PWI. I remember that match very well. You were a regular there for PWI. They had local television in Indianapolis, brought in a lot of bigger names that were available on the independents at that time. I know you weren't terribly far into your own career when you started there at PWI. Can you tell us what the experience was for you working at a company like that at that point?
Well, the reason I got on at PWI was Dan Garza saw something in me, and he was doing a character called El Diablo. So we had some matches, and, you know, PWI was always fun. I always had a good time there. I wish it was still around. I think those TV episodes are starting to surface out on the internet. So if you get a chance, I do believe that Madman Pondo versus Tracy Smothers is on the YouTube. Just search that and PWI, and that should come up. But, yeah, I had a good time at PWI.
I always enjoyed watching it myself. Now, there was a match I recall at one TV taping where the owner of the building actually stopped the match because of the carnage. Do you remember that particular six-man tag?
I do. It was a six-man? I thought it was just a tag. I thought it was me and El Diablo took on Bull Payne and that fucking Ian Rotten. Fuck that guy. But we started to destroy some stuff, and he came out and rung the bell on us and stopped the match. So then we had to do the rematch. But, yeah, El Diablo was Dan Garza at the time, and, of course, we took on Bull and that other guy. And good times at OPWI.
Absolutely. Well, my co-host Randy Zellers is with us, and I sure know that Randy has some questions. So, Randy, go right ahead.
Hey, how are you doing today, good sir? It's a pleasure to meet you, and it's an honor to do an interview with you on this show.
I'm a jack-off in life, man.
Damn. Well, shoot, let's just get right down to the nitty-gritty. I know you've been in the business for a real long time, and you shared your brain with the whole... Yeah, 30 years. Hey, that's an accomplishment on its own. Hey, my hat's off to you on that one. Yeah. Yeah, because we had something in common here. We both wrestled Kevin Sullivan. How was your experience like wrestling him?
Well, you remember when Kevin Sullivan wrestled Katamira at Smoky Mountain, and it was bloody and it was violent. Well, I took not a railroad spike, but a great big nail. And when I wrestled Kevin Sullivan, I handed it to him, and I said, I want you to do the same thing you did to Katamira. He's like, are you sure? And I said, yeah. So we get out there, and the first poke to the head is like a shoot with that nail. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then he poked me a couple more times, and then he started cutting into my arm. And then when we got in the back, he started praising my name to everybody, talking about how brave I was. Actually, I didn't know those two were shooting on each other, so I actually fucked myself up with my own words.
So right there, you just got a good surprise.
Good surprise. That's what it was.
Hey, but you know what though? Hey, take it like that because actually, when I first met him, I took a seminar and stuff like that. When I got into my gear, he straight looked at me, and he looked at my ass, and he's all like, get that fake ass out your pants. And I was like, I can't. It's all natural.
There you go.
And I'm like, nope. I'm like, no, I can't twerk. Twerking wouldn't even end at that time. I'm like, nope, I ain't twerking. I ain't doing none of that shit. He's all like, well, I'd bring that ass to ROH. I was like, oh, Lord. But, yeah, Kevin, really good friend of mine, all that other good stuff. And actually, I was going to ask you a few questions here, but these are going to be like yes or no's.
Okay.
Yeah, and you don't got to put anybody on blast because that's not what we're here for. Have you shared a locker room or shared the ring with an opponent or a fellow wrestler whose hygiene wasn't up to par?
Of course. I don't think anybody in the wrestling business hasn't been in the locker room with somebody with the bad odor. But I'm the type of guy that as long as I'm not wrestling that guy, I really don't say much. But I know some other vets that are like, wash your fucking gear. So they take care of that for me.
Dang. I kind of went hams on that one because I had an encounter with someone who wasn't up to par, and I pretty much just brought my Red Fox CD called Wash Your Ass.
I hear you. Well, I'll go ahead. It's not putting him on blast because I talked to his face about it and all that, but for weeks in and weeks out, Chris Hero's gear smelt like fucking sweaty shit. So people would talk to him about it all the time. So somebody put a frog in his wrestling bag, and he didn't find that for like four or five more shows. Therefore, we knew he wasn't getting that gear out and washing it. But after that, he pretty well figured out it's time to wash it. But he was so into getting home, watching videotapes and making himself better. He didn't even think about washing his gear, but now I'm pretty sure he washes that gear.
Yeah. Okay, I hear you on that one. Let's see here. What attracted you to doing all the death matches and stuff?
Well, do you remember the In Your House pay-per-views that WWE was putting on every Sunday?
Yes.
Okay, me and 11 friends would all meet up at my house, and we would rent those week after week. And it just seemed like during the pay-per-view, because they only lasted, what, an hour or maybe an hour and a half?
Yeah, like an hour and a half.
So we would nobody was really watching the TV. They wouldn't even say that much about the matches. Well, I was a big tape trader at the time. I hope you know what tape trading is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I was a big tape trader at the time. So after the WWE would get done with that hour and a half in your house debacle, somebody would always say, "Hey, Pondo, put in one of those deathmatch tapes." So I'd put it in, and all eyes would be on the TV. And I said, "Well, shit, this is it. This is what I need to do." So
yep.
That's what I did. I started doing death matches.
Hey, that's what's up, man. Oh, man, that's what's up. Yeah, because, in tape trading, that was a big thing where I grew up at. And we had one guy that had every single ECW match known to wrestling fans and wrestlers.
Well, as far as I know, in my hometown, my mom and dad had the first scrambled great big satellite that you would have to motorize and figure out where the channel was. I don't know if you guys know anything about those. But I just I just got all types of wrestling, like out of Mexico, out of Rhode Island. You know, I just had all types of wrestling, so I would just videotape them. And next thing I know, I had a wall of videotapes that my mom would bitch at me about all the time.
Yeah, moms tend to do that, man. Yeah, because in my neck of the woods, we had the de-scrambler cable boxes. That
right.
was a really popular. Yeah, that was a real popular thing. And every month you had to go and get a new chip.
Yep.
That was cool. I mean, that's when I first started hustling and bootlegging is an end thing now.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. And let's see here. And I see that you had quite a few managers on your corner. I mean, in your corner and stuff. Well, which one was one of your favorites to work with?
His name's Dave Chapman, but he was known as the Shriek out of MRW in St. Louis, Missouri, out of Midwest Renegade Wrestling. Me and him, we always clicked real good, and if I did something, he knew what was coming next. So, yeah, I would say that was probably my favorite manager.
Oh, okay. And how about your – because I saw the match between you and Congo Khan. I have to say, that was an excellent match right there. That's like,
right.
I was like, ooh, hands down, that was one of my favorite performances out of you and Congo Khan. I mean, you guys go, I mean, the storytelling, then I
right.
think that's what's kind of lost in wrestling is the storytelling.
I hear you.
Yeah, I mean, the flippy flip flops and stuff like that. Okay, that's cool. But when the wrestler that had the ability to do that, when they get older, they get a little civilized, and then they got to go and relearn another style.
Well, I figure if somebody's going to pay a ticket to see me, I'm still going to give it the best I can, 50 or not, you know.
Oh yeah, because I mean that's like. I mean, if I go see, like, if I, private example, if I go see certain wrestlers and be like, okay, well, I'm getting my money's worth here, get my money's worth here or there, but
right.
But dang, but how about you? How about your favorite wrestler that you've never had a problem with? And you guys always gave it 100%. Which one of the wrestlers was your favorite worker to work with?
I would say that had to be Necro Butcher. Like, me and him always had good chemistry with each other, and always killed each other, and it was always 50% and mutual. So yeah, I would say the Necro Butcher.
Oh, Necro Butcher. Oh, that's pretty cool. Hey, that's all right. Solid. All right, and I got another question here. What would you prefer, liquor or beer?
What was the first one?
Liquor or I'll give you two things. Either you can choose one of them or choose them both, liquor or beer.
Do I have to choose either? Because I don't even drink.
Oh, you don't even drink?
How about throwing cherry Coke in there? I'll take a cherry Coke.
Oh, a cherry Coke? Hey, that's what I'm drinking on right now is a cherry Coke.
That's a big myth about me. Like, that's a big myth about me. People think that I party all the time and do drugs and drink alcohol or pop pills, or I don't do any of that.
Wow. Yeah, you know what? What really shocked me when I first got into wrestling, I had just, I think 3 months before that, I tore my rotator cuff. I wasn't really too big on the pain pills, but my shoulder was hurting after my first match. And one of the refs, I went back in the back, snuck one in because I didn't know because I thought it was a big myth about pain pills. One of the wrestlers decided to sneak up behind me and scare the shit out of me. And I dropped my pills, and all these pills like went on the floor. I was like, no. And two of them was like, yeah, like their eyes was just on them. And I'm like, well, why'd you guys do that, man? Shoot, have me drop my stuff. They're like, hey, can we get those? I was like, you guys can get those off the floor. I'm out of here.
I fractured my skull one time, and instead of going to the doctor, I super glued it shut, and I didn't get all the holes filled in, so that fucked me up for about a month and a half. But I refuse to take pain pills because I've seen too many of my friends get hooked, and it just goes on and on and on, and I've had a couple of friends die off the shit, so I'm good. I'll just take the pain.
Suck it up and just take the pain. I'm just like, because I remember my old doctor was like, well, we can give you all these pain pills, so we can give you a steroid shot. I was like, just give me the pain. I was like, okay, give me the pain pills. I sat on them, and I just kept on just taking my Tylenol and my ibuprofen because the main thing about me was it was just the inflammation that was bugging me. And when I figured that out, I was like, oh, I don't need these. I just take the inflammation and keep moving.
There you go.
Yeah, and I know. Did you guys have any other upcoming shows before the Steve Corino virus took place?
Yeah, I had a lot of shows booked, and I had two of my shows myself, a girl fight and an LB5 show, both booked. But the minute Corona took over, that was the end of that shit.
Yeah.
Actually wrestled after everybody got quarantined. There was a company, I won't even say the name or the town, but it was a very small town, no police in it. And I went ahead and wrestled because I needed the money during the virus scare.
I hear you on that one, and right there, I don't blame you at all. Because there was a lot of stuff that we were, because I wrestled for Northwest Pro, and we were actually, one of our guys was going to be going up against Trevor Murdoch at that show. And
okay.
One of our guys, his name is the Lumberjack. And he was going to, Well, Trevor Murdoch was about ready to come up here. I'm not sure if that show's going to be happening or not. It's happening in June.
Right.
But man. Yeah, and I've seen a lot of my friends, even my brother. My brother's sitting pretty right now because he's actually, his job's paying him to stay home.
I hear you. You got any more questions for me?
You know what? I think that sums it up, QT. You got anything for him?
Yes, I do. Hello, Mr. Madman.
What's up, buddy? How's it going?
Not too bad. Mr. Madman, I saw your YouTube video entitled Madman Hondo versus Crazy Smothers, and it was posted on YouTube on December 10th, 2014.
Versus who? I'm sorry, I can't really hear you that much.
It was Madman Hondo versus Crazy Smothers.
Oh, yeah.
And the event took place on July 5th, 2014, and it was called Put Your Fist Up, D.I.W. Do you remember this event?
2014, that would be D1W?
Yes.
Yep, I remember.
Well, Madman, Tracy Smothers made his entrance to the music The Devil Went Down to Georgia by Charlie Daniels. Are you a
right.
big fan of this song?
I don't hate the song. I mean, yeah, I used to listen to it. Of course, everybody would wait for that one part where they got to say son of a bitch around their parents. So, yeah, I was a big fan of the Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Madman, the front of your shirt had the letters JCW. Can you tell our listeners what these letters stood for?
Stands for Juggalo Championship Wrestling, put on by the Insane Clown Posse, where I have wrestled for them at all 20 gatherings, which this year it's canceled. And I did their Stranglemania live show. I did their Hellfire show. All the JCW tours, more or less all the JCW events, unless I was in Japan or something. So, yeah, it stands for Juggalo Championship Wrestling.
Oh, very good. I'm familiar with them. Very nice. Okay. All right. Well, Madman, prior to this match, how long had you held the D1W Heavyweight Championship? How long had you held the belt?
You know what? I've been hitting the head so much, I don't even remember how long I had it. I really don't. Maybe a couple months?
Okay. Well, Madman, in your estimation, because of all the time that Tracy was talking in the ring, you had a good chance to scan the crowd. In your estimation, about what percentage of the crowd brought belts to the match? Belts, about 50%?
I'm not even too sure on that, but man, do I hate that shit. I hate when, because my friends, they always want to go to WWE live events, and I'm good friends with a couple of those guys, so I get us free tickets. I will never stand an adult. Now, I can imagine a child or somebody with special needs, but why would a grown adult want to bring a championship belt to a match? And I'll tell you why. Number one, they didn't beat anybody for that belt. Number two, where's the belt going to lay while they're watching the matches? Right there on the floor. So yeah, I don't even remember how much percentage of people had a belt.
Okay. All right. From my video analysis, I think about 40%.
There you
video
go.
Video analysis. Okay. All right. Well, Madman, you officially stepped over the middle white rope and planted both feet on the canvas at the 1 minute and 50-second mark. At the 10-minute and 50-second mark, the match still had not started for a total time of 9 minutes. And during this time, the well-dressed, bearded referee had checked neither you or your opponent, Tracy, for foreign objects. My two questions are, was this 9 minutes, one of the longest pre-match time periods that you have had in the ring with an opponent before the eventual bell ringing?
Well, when you're wrestling Tracy Smothers, you might as well expect that he's going to get that heat. So I can't remember, but yeah, that's probably, if not one of the longest up there in the top five, but I really can't remember.
Okay, top five, 9 minutes before the match started. Okay. My second question is about this nine-minute time period is, why didn't the referee check for foreign objects? Is it because of the belts brought by the fans kind of negated the check anyway, in your opinion?
You're talking about a strap match.
Yes.
When you're talking about belts, I thought you was talking about replica championship belts. When you're in a lumberjack strap match, there's really no reason to check the wrestlers for weapons because it's just the fact that we're going to be beating the shit out of each other, so might as well just let it go, you know?
Okay, very good point. Okay, very good. All right. Well, Madman, I noticed that Tracy wore two knee pads into the match, as well as you. Have you ever yourself had any kneecap injuries?
Yeah, I've blown my knee out a couple of times, but I'm so stupid, I just keep on wrestling. And, you know, I might take a week off, but no knee is going to keep me from getting in that ring. But now maybe if I'd have thought better, I might have done something different. But back then when you're young and you're just wanting to wrestle, you really don't even think about it. Hold on, I'm at the house. I'll be right back, all right? Talk amongst yourselves.
Okay.
I'll be right back. Save the next question. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay.
Would it not be a nice time for you to read the novel?
Okay, let me check on this.
Wow.
Last Orders by Graham Swift. Let's see. I'll read the back cover. Grading these men's voices and that of Jack's mysterious absent widow into the choir of sweet sorrow and resentment, passion and regret, Graham Swift creates a testament to the changing England and to enduring mortality. Maybe he was a vampire. Honest, moving, yet richly comic, faithful both to the passing rhymes of daily speech and to the abiding truths of life and death, Last Orders is a triumph. It's like a book review.
It kind of was, yeah.
Oh, okay. And it says, four men, friends, most of them, for half a lifetime, gather in a London pub. They have taken it upon themselves to carry out the last orders of Jack Dodds, master butcher, and deliver his ashes to the sea. So he was cremated. As they drive toward the fulfillment of their mission, their errand becomes an extraordinary journey into the collective and individual past.
Very,
you know,
interesting.
Reading the back of this book is kind of like reading a wine review. Yes. And if
any listeners heard a wine review that went just like that.
Yes,
hey,
I
guys,
have.
I'm back.
Oh, okay. All right. Madman, at the 15-minute and 29-second mark, if you freeze the video, you can see Tracy on the outside of the ring for the first time in the match, and he's getting whipped by the fans. He had gone over the top rope after you ducked one of his punches. At the same time, at the 15:29 mark, a viewer can see both your wrestling boots, and it looks like skull faces are on each boot right above the ankle area and next to the calf muscle. My question is, where did you get your boots and how expensive were they?
Those two pairs, the newest pairs that I have, I was wrestling in Mexico, and they probably cost $200 a piece, but they're really thick leather, and they're built to last, and I was there when they were measured for my ankle and my calf, so I know that they're perfect for it. So, yeah, when, Mexico, Mexico City, Mexico is where I got those.
Wow. Wow. Okay, Mexico. All right. Okay. Well, Mr. Pondo, after Mr. Smothers gets back into the ring after being whipped, he was calling for a timeout.
You have really analyzed this match, haven't you?
Yes, I go frame by frame. The amount of time that I spend prepping for our interviews is huge.
I hear you. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, okay. Well, now he called for a timeout, and you can clearly see a well-formed T with his two hands at the 15-minute and 45-second mark. My question is, what is the most timeouts with a well-defined T sign have you been involved in a match that your opponent has made? Does Tracy hold the record?
Tracy totally holds the record. I don't think I've been in any other matches than anybody other than Tracy Smothers, who's always wanted a timeout.
Okay, all right, he holds the record. Okay, well, Madman, right after this, Tracy Smothers challenged you to a dance-off at the 22-minute and 34-second mark, and he started dancing. At the 22:38 mark, you double axe-handled him from behind, and he staggered to the ropes and then went through them, and he got whipped again. After he got back into the ring, your music hit, and you did the Macarena dance. I was speechless at the beauty of it.
Well, tell you the truth, I had one show. I knew that I was wrestling Tracy, so I went to YouTube and learned how to do the Macarena because I knew Tracy was going to ask me to dance. And Machete, don't use cell phones. Pondo, don't dance. So I had to go to YouTube and learn the Macarena. It's probably the easiest dance that I could have thought of.
Wow, fantastic. Okay, all right. Well, Madman, you told Sign Guy earlier that you had been on the Jerry Springer show. During the show, did you offer... And this is a rumor. Did you offer a group of five Ku Klux Klan men a 5-on-1 handicap match? And if they won, you would be a part-time member of the Klan. But if you defeated them, they would have to each donate a used car to the NWACP. Is this true?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was fabricated and rumor. No. I don't think I probably could have took five guys, but the Jerry Springer show, I really didn't have much problem out of too many people because I was like a booker for the thing, and I was making pretty good money out of the guys. I've been on the Jerry Springer show twice. One is on YouTube, and I do not remember any Klansmen on any of the shows that I was on.
Okay. How is the backstage coffee that they serve on the Jerry Springer show?
I don't drink coffee, but their cherry Coke is awesome. Straight out of a can.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, Madman, what is the hardest knife-edge chop you have ever received from a female wrestler?
From a female wrestler?
Yes.
I can't remember, tell you the truth. I don't even remember being chopped by a female during a match. Did you analyze my matches? And is there some match that I'm missing that some female chopped me?
Well, now I have a homework assignment. I will do extensive research if you have indeed been chopped by a lady, and I'll get back to you.
Sounds great, because I've beat my brains out for 30 years, and I don't remember shit.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Madman, if you could travel back in time, and indeed, time travel is a constant theme on this show, say you could time travel back 13 years ago and you had a choice to wrestle an opponent, say Jimmy Wang Yang and Goldust, which would you choose?
Probably Goldust. I'm pretty good friends with Dustin, so yeah, it would probably be Goldust.
Wow, you're good friends with Dustin. Have you taken any road trips with Dustin Reynolds?
I have not, but we've been on plenty of shows together, and anytime there's somebody who knows me by a first name basis, I figure that means we know each other.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm glad he made a good comeback. I hear he, on his comeback, that he was lifting weights like crazy and was in very good shape.
You know, it seems like the older that man gets, the better he wrestles.
Oh, okay. All right. I hope someday to meet him myself. And at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy.
All right.
Back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT.
Sign Guy went to the bathroom.
Yes, he did.
Sign Guy, there's no toilet paper in the bathroom, so he is wondering what he's going to wipe with. So he's taking off his socks, and he's ripping his socks in stripes. And,
come on.
Just telling you. That's what's in my mind right now.
I have to resort to the socks, but it was close. Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, well, Pongo, I know you are still working there, and I don't want to take up any more of your time. So if there's anything you want to say to our listeners today, if you want to plug anything, the books, social medias, merchandise, anything, go right ahead and do so.
All right. Well, you can pick up my book at Amazon.com, or you can go to sleepwrestle.com and talk to John Cosper about getting an autograph copy of the book. LB5, which is Little Brother 5, after this corona shit gets done, will be a thing. And Girl Fight's going to continue. Just right now, it would be no sense in scheduling anything, so we really haven't done anything. And if I'm in your area, come out and say hello, man. Like, I'm a good guy. I'm going to talk to you. And I guess that's about it.
Well, Pongo, thank you very, very much for taking time to be with us. I appreciate it greatly. And hopefully I'll get to share a locker room with you again at some point when this all blows over. And best of luck as you continue on with the career.
I'm going to look a lot different when you see me because I was 326 pounds December the 17th. And then April the 17th, I was 264 pounds, and I'm still losing weight, so I'm going to look different. So be ready for that.
Wow.
I definitely will, and congratulations on getting in that good of shape. I know it's hard to do, but you've done
it,
and I'm proud of you.
It's a war, man. It's a war. I want to commit suicide every time I pass a Krispy Kreme.
I can hear you on that. Fans, definitely, if Madman Pongo is on his show when this all gets back up and running, go check him out. He's not going to leave you disappointed. You're going to be glad you did so. Go check him out on the YouTube. Lots out there if you're looking for some Madman Pongo matches on the social medias and the streaming services. And definitely the Girls Fight is a great, great show. Lots of very, very talented women take part in that. I know most of the girls there, and they're all very, very good. So support that when they get back up and running. We'll be back with you next week, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, guys.